It's funny to see some of the kids, how they respond when they get a presents. You know, they look forward with anticipation to that moment when they can just open their gifts and realize, I just got what I wanted. You know, it's priceless to see their faces. And, you know, also, I mean, when they don't get what they expect, you know how disappointed they get. I have heard kids pray at New Door Christian Academy on Wednesday night. I was there, and in the fourth grade class, one of the prayers that they prayed was, Lord, help me to get all I want for Christmas. I mean, that's a child prayer. Lord, help me to get everything I want for Christmas. You know, and so it's like, you know that you might not get everything you want for Christmas. But again, you know, it's so cute to hear those kids come to the Lord. You know, they do a Wednesday morning, they do a chapel with some of those classes. And just like, it's so cute to hear their prayers, like so open. Lord, this is really what I want. Just help me. Or help me do well on my tests. You know, usually when we pray, we would like God to intervene on our behalf. I mean, that's the reality of it. When we pray, we want God to do really what we would like to do. But we also know that as Jesus taught us how to pray, his will ultimately be done. And sometimes what we want is not what God has in store for us. We ask God to help us, to guide us, to give us something that we want at that moment. We want him to meet our needs, but occasionally he might not respond. Now, there was a man in the Bible named Zechariah, and it's interesting because you never heard about him, and he's around the Christmas story that we kind of focus on throughout this year. But this man was a priest. His name is Zechariah, and he's been praying to God for a long time. He had a wife whose name was Elizabeth, and she was barren. She couldn't have kids, and you know, in that society, if you were a woman and you couldn't have kids, people would look at you like you were cursed. And the whole family, the whole people around you, the community, be talking bad about you because it was like, well, you know, God did not bless you. And so imagine Zechariah's been praying earnestly to God for her, for his wife. And you read about him in Luke chapter 1. So in Luke chapter 1, that's the text we're going to be looking at today, verses 5 through following. So he's praying to God, and you know, he goes to minister to the Lord at the temple because he's a priest. And the Bible says that around that time, they cast lots, and the lot fell on Zechariah. So therefore, he needed to go to the temple and minister. So as he's ministering to the Lord, serving God by the altar, he had a visitation by an angel. An angel, Gabriel, came and showed up to him. And you know, in those days, again, like the assumption that we have, you see an angel, you think you're going to be happy. Every time somebody saw an angel in the Bible, they panicked because angel came for two things, either good news or bad news. You did not know which one it was until the angel would tell you, I bring you good news. But if not, then you would panic. So imagine this guy, a priest, goes to the temple, he's lighting the incense, and boom, here's an angel. Says, Zechariah, do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Imagine that God was sending an angel to say to you, you know that thing you've been praying about? He heard it. He's going to do what you've been asking him to do. Zechariah, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. So let's go to that text so you see what happened to him. Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 11. So the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. I mean, imagine, you're just like, whoa, panicking, even though you're serving God in the temple. Right there in the church, an angel showed up to tell you that your prayer has been answered. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. I mean, some of us would ask God that perhaps a confirmation that what I'm praying about, just show me, give me a sign. Here's Zechariah's sign. An angel showed up to tell him what you've been praying for. This is the prayer. He says, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. This John that we're talking about here is known as AKA John the Baptist or the Baptizer. This is a John. And so now you know John's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. So your wife will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. Now, look at the description of this child. Verse 14 to follow. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Check this out. He will be filled with, I mean, sometimes, many of us never heard the story of how John the Baptist came into. But I think he's part of the Christmas story right there. I'm going to show you how. So, he will not drink wine or fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Many of the people of Israel, he will bring back to the Lord, their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I mean, look at the description of John the Baptist. I mean, filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. The child has not even been conceived. And the angel is telling Zechariah the future, what's going to happen? You know, you wanted your wife to have a baby. It's going to happen. And you are to give him the name John. And this is what John will do when he grows up. You know, look at kind of like the resume of John the Baptist. He will turn many in Israel. Remember, by the time John comes into the picture, the people of Israel, they were waiting for a Messiah. And they had not heard from prophets for about 300 to 400 years. And now we know that there's a prophet coming. So people know this period between Inner Testament, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. People, scholars call that the silence of God, because prophets, nobody showed up saying, the Lord said, all of a sudden now an angel shows and say, hey, Zechariah, your wife will have a son and you are to give him the name John. I mean, that's a lot to take. I mean, yeah, your prayer has been answered. Guess what's going to happen, Zechariah? Here it is. Now, how do you think he responded to that? I mean, if God says to me, hey, Israel, your prayer has been answered, like, thank you, Lord. Man, I knew it was, you know, thank you so much. This is how Zechariah responded to the angel. Then verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. My wife is well advanced in years. How can I be sure of that? Wrong answer, Zechariah. Wrong response. First of all, I don't understand that part. You've been praying to God. He said, your prayer's being heard. And now you're still asking the angel, how can I be sure? To me, it's like, what are you been praying about for? Like, now you're doubting the angel message. You see, God doesn't like when his people doubt. You see, the angel answered, verse 19, I am Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is an angel, and you can tell from the Bible, angels don't age like we do, because this is the same Gabriel that spoke to Daniel like about 300, 400 years before Jesus even came into the picture. And Gabriel, you know, it's like they're not restricted to time and space like we are. So he appears here in the New Testament too. So he said, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time. Zechariah will not be able to speak until that child is born. As a punishment for not trusting the angel. You've been praying for that. He says you've been hurt, and then you still have the audacity to ask. But how can I be sure? You see the irony of the whole story here? How can God told you already. It's like, I'm old. And my wife is also, oh, I mean, you know, maybe we've been praying for a while. And I was like, how can I be sure? You want more signs? It's like, guess what? I'm Gabriel. I stand at the presence of God. And now you won't be able to speak. You're going to be muted until that baby is born. And you look at the story. John was born. And he was on the eighth day, they took him to circumcise him. And that's when Zechariah was able to speak. So she went through the whole pregnancy. And he could not talk. He must have to learn sign language or something to communicate, because he could not speak, because the angel told him. When you doubt God, unbelief has severe consequences. You see what happened to this man. Mind you, he was ministering to the Lord, but then he doubted. So let me just tell you the story. Meanwhile, verse 21, the people were waiting for Zechariah, wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak. He could not speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak because Gabriel told him he wasn't going to be able to. Now, when the time of the service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. Then she said, "The Lord has done this for me." She said, in these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. She is rejoicing. She is extremely favored by God. She's highly, highly favored because she said, you know, my disgrace is being removed. The shadow is being taken away. That I'm going to have a child. Poor Zechariah won't be able to say anything yet because he doubted the Lord. So 5 months she was in seclusion. Nobody saw her, you know, but she's rejoicing. She felt highly favored, extremely favored by God because what the Lord is already doing in her life. And then this is a story that most of us are familiar. In the 6th month of her pregnancy, Gabriel goes to a town in Galilee named Nazareth to a woman pledged to a man named Joseph, and the woman's name was Mary. So you see that I'm tying up the two stories. I mean, you hear the birth of Jesus on the 6th month. 6th month of who? Elizabeth's pregnancy. Gabriel now goes to Nazareth to tell Mary about another birthday, to announce another birthday. You see, John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah. His job was to prepare people saying, somebody else is coming. Somebody else is coming. Somebody greater than I am. Because as John is preaching by the Sea of Galilee, people thought that he was the Messiah. And they would ask him, are you the one we're expecting? No, I'm not, he said. In fact, I'm not even worthy to bend on my knees and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You know, and so John is I'm just somebody shouting in the wilderness. John came to prepare the people's heart for the Messiah. And he did. He did it. That's what the angel had prophesied. So in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, verse 26, the angel Gabriel went to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The ESV said, greetings, you favored one. And Mary was like, oh, what kind of greeting is this? Like the Bible says, she was perplexed. She was like confused. What kind of, I'm highly favored? Now imagine she's planning a wedding. Like some people be here planning a wedding very soon. She's planning a wedding. Now the angel's going to come to her. Now picture this. Zechariah was praying for that to happen. Mary wasn't praying for anything. She's busy planning a wedding, and now the angel's going to come to say, maybe you have to put the wedding plans on hold, because God has something for you to do. So she comes, you know, she's minding her own business over there, and now she got this visit from Gabriel, and says, greetings, you are highly favored. And the Bible says, like I said, she was perplexed. Verse 29, the NIV said Mary was greatly troubled at his words, wondering what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found, this is what it means, you have found favor with God. The word for favor, we know our Bibles, it's the same word for grace. God looks at you with grace. God is looking at you graciously, with favor. In the Bible, you hear about Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, some people. So God's looking at you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He says, don't be afraid. He says, you have found favor with God. And here's the news. And you will be with a child. You will be with a child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. Another J. This is John. And now is this Jesus. You will give the name Jesus. Why? He says, he will be great, verse 32, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Joseph is a descendant of David. We already read that. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, the only question Mary had at this point is, how can this be? Remember, she hasn't prayed for this. She did not want this to happen. God just telling her, you have been chosen. And how can this be? She said, she asked the angel, for I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit, don't worry about it, Mary. Gabriel's telling Mary the details of what's going to happen. I mean, he already told him the description of this child. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. You see, all the prophecies that Louis was talking about, invitation, now they're coming to fulfill. Some of the things that DJ was talking about, the prophets being talking that a virgin will give birth to a son, Isaiah 7:14. And his name will be God with us, Emmanuel. And then Isaiah also said, for to us a son is given, a child is born, and the government will be under his shoulders. And his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And now everything is being fulfilled right here. When Gabriel told Mary, you're going to have a son, his name will be Yeshua, Jesus. He will be great. He will be known as the Son of God. And his kingdom, when he starts reigning, will never end. It's almost Gabriel say, how would you like to be the mother of the Son of God? How would you like to be the mother of the Messiah? I mean, it's like, that's a huge privilege, but remember, that was not part of her plan. How's that going to happen? I mean, hello, I'm a virgin. I mean, I'm just planning a wedding. And he says, don't worry about the details, Mary. And then he says, verse 35. This is how Gabriel explained to Mary what's going to happen. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will envelop you or overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. What was one of the titles of Jesus when he was traveling? The Son of God, or the Son of Man, the Messiah. And then here it is. Even Elizabeth, your relative. So you see the connection between John the Baptist and Jesus? Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, talking about Elizabeth, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Here's the kicker right there for those two stories. Zechariah thought, we're too old. The angel said, don't worry about it. Man, God already says it's going to happen. If God says it, God will get it. So nothing is impossible with God. Mary, you think that you're going to need the intervention of a man. You don't need that in this case because God will take care of the details. You see, God will do things that it just he will blow our minds up. It's just we don't even comprehend. That's who God is. What's impossible for us is always possible for him. There's nothing impossible for God. And that's what he said, don't worry about it, Mary, for nothing is impossible with God. And I love her response right here. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Amazing. She placed herself at the Lord's disposal. She gave up her agenda and just took on God's agenda. He said, you will be the mother of the Messiah. She's still going to say, no, thank you. I don't want that. That's too much of a risk. That's a huge responsibility. I'm not ready for that. Besides, I'm planning a wedding. She could have said that. But since she knew that came from God, she said, you know what? Whatever your will is, I will do. You know what it meant for Mary to say yes? I mean, you're not even married and you're going to be pregnant. When people found out, Joseph, when you read the story in Matthew, what did he want to do? He wanted to leave her because he realized, I'm not the father. Who is the father? You know, Joseph, he says, because he was a righteous man, when she was showing the belly already, he said like, man, she cheated on me. And the angel had to come back and tell Joseph, no, this is from God, man, don't panic. And then he was okay. So that pregnancy in that society for Mary meant that her family would have nothing to do with her. They could have stoned her because that was punished in that society. That was punished by stoning because they thought that she must be a prostitute. And still she said yes to God, despite the things that could have happened to her. Sometimes when you say yes to God, you're saying no to yourself. Sometimes when you say yes to God, to his agenda, you have to say no to your family and to your preferences, to what you like. That's what it means sometimes for many of us when we say, yes, Lord. You know, Moses said yes to God, but when God sent them to Egypt, he did not want to go there. In fact, he told God, send somebody else because I don't really want to do that. Thank you very much. I mean, but finally he got it. You see, saying yes to God, it means that you got to go against your own desires sometimes. That's what Jesus meant when he says, you got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Mary placed herself under the will of God. God's will is to choose you as the means by which the Messiah will come. You will be the mother of the Messiah. And she says, I'm willing. I'm ready. Regardless of what society is going to think of me when they see me pregnant without being married. Regardless of what people think of, I'm going with God on this case. She surrendered her agenda to God. She chose to trust God even when it did not make sense to her. She placed her will under God's will. Mary was willingly, and she was extremely favored, because right now God's going to choose her to be the mother of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No wonder Gabriel said, greetings, you highly favored. You're extremely favored by God. It's interesting. When I put the two stories together, I realize Elizabeth, she felt favored by God when God allowed her to have a kid, to have a son. And she said it, verse 25, her words were, the Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace. Extremely favored. Elizabeth was. Mary was highly favored because angel Gabriel told her, you are extremely favored. The Lord is with you. And imagine that. You're going to be the mother of the Son of God. But there's somebody else in the story that is really extremely favored, and that person is you and I. Elizabeth was, Mary is highly favored. You and I are also extremely favored by God. How? Because God sending a Messiah for you and I. God has seen our disgrace, our shadow, our attitude, whatever we have gone through in this life, and he's seen that, and he's sending us somebody who can cure that. So he's sending us a Savior. God seen our pain, our sorrow, whatever, and he loved us so much that he gave us Jesus. That's why you and I are extremely favored, that God loves you that much that he gave you his only begotten Son, so that through him, you and I can have life. I mean, you are highly favored, in case you didn't know. It's not just Elizabeth and Mary, you and I, because yes, God used those women to bring about the Savior of the world so that you and I can benefit even today. He loved you so much that he sent Jesus so that through his death, you and I can have life. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians. He was rich, but then he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. I mean, when I read that, that's highly favored. He, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be hang on to, but he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and even under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That baby that came in a manger is God's solution to our disgrace. It's God's remedy to our sin problem that we have in our society. You know, it's not a gun problem we have. It's not like people just going crazy. No, you know what it is? We have a sinful nature in us. And God saw our disgrace and said, you know, 2,000 years ago, I'm sending you the medicine, the remedy to cure you. All we have to do is take it. So you and I are highly favored because you don't have to do life by yourself. You don't have to just spend one more hour like in pain and sorrow and in the shadow. There's somebody who cares about you, and he came 2,000 years ago to point us in the right direction, to make us friends with God again, to save us from our sin, to save us from ourselves even. He sent Jesus to take my pain, to take my sin, and nail that sin to a cross. He became my substitute. Substitutionary death. I should have been there, but he said, I take your place. And he did that for me. He did that for you. He came to give us life, and life more abundantly. So you see, you are also extremely favored by God. God has shown his favor, his gift in Jesus Christ. God's grace was revealed to all of us, and the name of that grace is truly Jesus. See, God saw the need, and he gave you a gift, the greatest gift that could have been given, and that's Jesus. He says, you know, I love you so much. You are truly highly favored. He's not just saying Merry Christmas. It is his life forever. He will reign in the house of David, and his kingdom will never end. That's why later on, next week, I'm going to talk about the shepherd story, because some of the angels told the shepherd, I bring a good news that will be a great joy for all people, because all people now can also be highly, extremely favored by God. That's how God demonstrated his own love, giving us a Savior. He saw our need. He saw our deepest needs and the things, you know, what we needed. The agony, the pain, the sorrow. He saw our disgrace that we had. He said, I don't want you to do life by yourself. Here's my gift. So Elizabeth was highly, and she felt it too. She's like, thank you, Lord, you took my disgrace away. Mary's called highly favored, but I want to call you highly favored, because you believe in Jesus, you are extremely favored. The Savior of the world is your King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Always be grateful, not just around Christmas time, because that's all Christmas time. The birth of Jesus is only the beginning. He became a man, and it was at the cross that truly you and I were favored by God when he took our sinful nature away. He took the pain, and he brought us back to the Father. So even as you live your life as Christians, never take for granted. Don't just remember Jesus around this time of the day. Without the cross, there wouldn't be a manger. So really, there's a shadow of a cross over that manger, over that night, because Jesus already knew what he came to do, to bring you and I back to the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. You got Jesus, you are extremely favored.